All right, ready to dive in. Today, we're tackling blood covenant Christianity. Listeners sent in this essay by Gavin Finley. He's a medical doctor, kind of taking a scalpel to how we view faith. Excited to break this down with you.
It really is fascinating how he approaches it. Not like dissing Christianity, but more like issuing this challenge to really examine if we're treating it like, you know, a transaction or embracing this deep blood covenant thing with Christ.
Right, right. It's like we hear all the time, Jesus did it all. And Finley's pointing out that so many just take that to mean we're good. Off the hook. Ticket to heaven. Punched.
And that's his worry, because this whole Jesus did it all thing can turn into, he calls it the commodification of faith. Like modern Christianity is almost like a marketplace. Faith's on sale.
Like a buy one, get one free kind of deal. Except it's, well, salvation, which is kind of unsettling. He even compares it to modern marriage, you know. Less about lifelong commitment, more what's in it for me? Sensing a theme here.
Oh, absolutely. This erosion of true commitment. And Finley's concern that pastors are becoming, well, more like employees, keeping the customers happy instead of guiding people towards, you know, a deeper faith.
Okay, so if it's not about getting that get out of jail free card to heaven, what is Christianity about for Finley?
He says it's about entering into a blood covenant. And this isn't like some casual agreement, right? He's talking ancient covenants, serious stuff, like those intense vows we make in marriage. Unbreakable.
Okay, for those of us not super up on ancient biblical history, what does that mean for us today? How is it different from just saying, I believe?
Think of it this way. It's not just accepting something. It's this reciprocal commitment, both sides, all in. And that's where he thinks modern Christianity is maybe missing something.
So he's saying Christianity requires a response, not to like earn salvation, but what's that response look like? What are we supposed to do?
One image he uses is the Western church as sleeping beauty. We're asleep to the real responsibilities, the callings of this covenant.
So not just snoozing through Sunday service, he's saying we're missing something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is important, he's not saying actions earn salvation, right?
No, not at all. He's not pushing a works-based faith. But he does point to Philippians 2:1-13, where Paul says, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God empowers this work in us. It's active participation.
And he even brings in the parable of the 10 virgins from Matthew 25, right? Waiting for the bridegroom. Only the prepared ones with their lamps full get in.
Right. The wise virgins, they were vigilant, prepared. It's this beautiful image, active readiness, anticipation. Finley seems to be saying we've lost some of that passionate faith from earlier times.
Like we traded in our dancing shoes for slippers, maybe? Got too comfy.
Perhaps. Which leads to his question, is the church failing to fully engage with its role as the bride of Christ?
That's a big one to unpack. And it ties into this idea of witness testimony, which he emphasizes. He makes this interesting link between a wedding ceremony and the new covenant.
Oh, it's brilliant. He points out, at a wedding, the bride doesn't just sit there. She's active. Publicly declares her commitment. And Finley says the church, as the bride, is called to something similar.
So it's not just about a private personal faith. It needs to be seen, heard, lived out.
Precisely. He introduces this concept of the final witness, which for him is the church's essential role as we head toward the end times. He even points to those contrasting images in Revelation, woman of destiny versus the harlot.
Whoa, hold up. Before we get into Revelation and all that, let's make sure we're all on the same page here. What exactly does he mean by final witness?
He's suggesting true believers will stand firm, even when things get rough, facing persecution. That unwavering commitment, even willingness to die for their beliefs, that's a powerful testimony, a final declaration of loyalty to Christ.
Okay, so it's about taking a stand, being bold, even when it's tough. But before we get into the fireworks of that final witness, all the end time stuff, he kind of detours into the Old Testament. Brings up Hosea and Gomer.
Ah, yes. Hosea the prophet and Gomer, his, well, unfaithful wife. It's such a powerful metaphor for how God relates to his people.
Right. Gomer's out there breaking Hosea's heart, but he pursues her, even buys her back from slavery.
It's an amazing image of God's love, forgiveness. No matter how far we stray, how much we mess up, he's there, ready to redeem us.
And Finley seems to link Gomer's return to Hosea with, well, the church's potential to wander, but ultimately be restored.
Yeah.
He highlights this shift in how we address God, too.
Yep.
From Bali, meaning my Lord, to Ishi, beloved, deeper intimacy, understanding.
Exactly. Moving from a formal relationship to one of deep personal love commitment. That seems to be the core of what he's getting at.
There's definitely a thread running through all this. Covenant, commitment, holding nothing back. Makes you wonder, where do we see this most clearly in our faith today?
Well, I think Finley would say one of the most potent symbols is right there in front of us every Sunday, the communion cup.
Ooh, interesting. Definitely ready to unpack that.
So that communion cup, right, it's more than just a sip of grape juice, isn't it? Finley takes us to Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 and 28, I think, where Jesus tells his disciples, drink ye all of it.
And that, for Finley, that gets to the heart of this blood covenant thing, huh? Complete surrender. Holding nothing back.
Exactly. It's, you know, offering everything, our desires, our goals, our very lives to Christ. He wants us to ask ourselves, have I really gotten this? Have I embraced the communion cup fully? Or am I holding back a little?
Yeah, it's so easy to just kind of skim over those words, drink ye all of it. You're at church, it's Sunday, routine.
Yeah.
But Finley makes you stop and think, what are we actually agreeing to in that moment?
He's trying to shake us up, isn't he? Get us out of that comfort zone. Wants us to wrestle with these implications of faith. Don't just settle for some watered down version.
He even says the modern Western church. It's like a reluctant bride, almost half asleep. Doesn't even realize how deep this covenant is that she's entered into.
He uses some strong imagery, you know, compares the church to like a concubine or something, a purchased good, not this bride who's head over heels for her groom.
Wow, that's intense. And he brings back that Hosea and Gomer story again. But this time, he's focused on Hosea being Gomer back out of slavery.
It's striking, that image. He's saying the church has, in a way, sold itself into slavery, to the world, to stuff, comfort, this constant chase for happiness on our terms. And it's Christ who redeems us, buys us back with his blood.
But it's not like Gomer just instantly changes, right? Becomes this perfect wife the second she's free. There's a process coming back to that love, that real commitment.
And that's where Finley gets tough. He asks, has the church, in focusing on the legal stuff, the ticket to heaven bit, forgotten the love relationship at the heart of the covenant?
So it's more than just avoiding hell. There's this whole other dimension.
But absolutely. He's talking about surrendering to a love that changes everything. Your desires, what motivates you, even your identity. Becoming like Christ in the world.
And he keeps coming back to witness, doesn't he? That active, outward expression of our faith. Seems like he worries the church is hesitant now. Lost its voice, that willingness to stand up, speak out.
He uses the wedding again, how the bride, she declares her commitment
publicly.
And Finley says the church has to do the same. Testify to its love for Christ. Witness to the truth, even when it's hard.
So it goes beyond just our personal relationship with God. It's about letting it overflow into the world.
Exactly. Being that light in the darkness, right? Standing up for what's right, true, even when it costs you.
This is where it gets pretty intense when he talks about the end times.
He thinks the church has this crucial role in the final act, so to speak. Points back to those images in Revelation, the woman of destiny, the harlot.
And he doesn't soften the blow, does he? Says there'll be a clear division. Those who stay faithful, willing to witness, even if it means death.
And those who compromise, turn away from their calling, get tangled up with the world's mess, it's a choice. This defining moment determines your destiny.
He doesn't shy away from the fact that following Christ could lead to, well, persecution, martyrdom even. Real commitment gets tested, refined in the fire, he says, of the end times.
Which leads to a big question. Are we ready for that level of commitment? Are we willing to pay the price?
Like he's making us look inward. Is our faith just theoretical, something we talk about on Sundays?
Or is it this fire burning inside us, passionate, shaping everything we do, gives us the strength to stand strong no matter what?
Powerful stuff makes you really think about the depth, the cost of following Christ. But there's one piece we haven't gotten to yet, the timing of all this. Where does Finley put the church in the grand scheme of the end times?
This is where it gets really interesting, maybe a little controversial too. He says the common way we interpret the new covenant, that it was sealed 2,000 years ago at the cross, it's incomplete.
Wait, he's disagreeing with the idea that it is finished refers to the new covenant being done. That's bold. So you're saying it is finished doesn't mean the new covenant is like totally done. Help me out here. Why does he challenge that traditional view?
Well, he says, you know, if it was truly finished at the cross, why didn't Christ come back right then, judge the wicked, set up his kingdom? Why wait 2,000 years?
It's true. We focus on the already part, right? Redeemed, seated with Christ. But the not yet, that future fulfillment, That hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. And Finley believes the church, as the bride, has a huge role in that not yet. He says the new covenant won't be completely sealed until the church finishes its job, witnessing to the world.
Witness, witness. He keeps coming back to that, huh? It's like the key, unlocking those final events.
He uses this analogy, a marriage contract. Imagine if only the groom signed it. Not a real marriage, right? Both have to agree, sign, be witnesses to it.
So the church's witness is like our signature, our yes, we're all in to the new covenant.
Exactly. He thinks God is waiting for us to embrace that, proclaiming the gospel everywhere, to the ends of the earth. Then history hits its climax.
This is mind-blowing. Okay, but when does he think this will happen? Where's the church on the end times timeline?
He doesn't give a date, but he points to the fifth seal in Revelation. That's when the final witness is done.
Fifth seal. Remind me what goes down there.
It's when the martyrs, their souls, cry out for justice. Huge persecution for the church. Believers got to stand strong, even if it costs them their lives.
So that's the peak of our witness, the moment we drink all of it, so to speak.
Yeah, he sees it as both suffering and deglory, the church truly living out that blood covenant commitment.
And after the fifth seal, what's next?
Sixth seal, cosmic stuff, right?
Yeah.
Sun going dark, moon like blood, stars falling. Then, of course, Christ returns.
So the church's final witness and the rapture, pretty close together, right before the really intense end time stuff.
Right. He doesn't buy the whole pre-tribulation rapture idea, the church getting whisked away before things get rough.
This is definitely challenging a lot of what I thought I knew. But even if you don't agree with his timeline, he makes a strong case for the church being ascetive.
Oh, absolutely. He's calling us to go deeper, not just passive acceptance, but radical commitment, willingness to give up everything for the gospel.
So what does all this mean for, well, the average person listening, trying to make sense of their faith? What's the takeaway?
I think Finley would say faith isn't a spectator sport, not about sitting back, waiting for the show.
It's about getting in the game.
Exactly. Actively working in God's kingdom, being a witness to his love, his power in the world, standing firm in our commitment no matter what.
And if Christianity really is a blood covenant, like he says,
then it takes everything, our hearts, minds, souls. Our very lives, radical surrender, changing everything, our thoughts, words, actions, all of it.
Wow, that's a lot to process. Thanks for taking us through this. It's been an intense journey.
Glad to explore these questions with you. Who knows, maybe this deep dive will spark something. A reawakening for the church, understanding its calling, its incredible destiny.
I hope so. And for you listening, keep those questions coming. Until next time, keep diving deep.